What do the people running the world's largest networks really think? We're exploring how traditional telcos are transforming from bandwidth providers into agile digital platforms by adopting new technologies like 5G, open APIs, and edge computing. We'll examine what it takes to compete and thrive in a rapidly evolving digital landscape, and how new revenue models are emerging. Well, in today's episode, I'm joined by Ryan Azdourian, who's the EVP and Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer at Lumen.
You can have the best tech in the world, but if your culture isn't ready, none of it matters. We're turning into a technology infrastructure company, and that is where we're investing in fiber, edge computing, secure data movement. The future belongs to those who evolve into strategic enablers of AI.
Hey, Ryan. It's clear that the role of telecom in the world, in global society, is changing. How are you and Lumen reinventing yourself for that responsibility?
If you think about today, most enterprises, they're not fully prepared for the demands of AI. It's come at us really quickly, and we see it as our mission to close that readiness gap and give businesses, public sector organizations, really the next gen infrastructure that they need. It could be all of these places where you might have thought traditionally that Lumen was a traditional telco. But really what we're doing is we're turning into a technology infrastructure company. And that is where we're investing in fiber, edge computing, secure data movement. And we've got this physical network, we've got a digital network, and we've got this connected ecosystem. And just on the physical network, we're expanding to 47 million US intercity miles by 2028. And the speeds have to be AI ready. We have speeds up to 400 gigs. And so then it's about how do we actually create this digital platform? How do you understand the needs that customers have and give them the control, the cloud-based controls, so they control performance, capacity, intelligence? And then finally, just as we put it all together, this world relies on companies working together. And we're developing that connected ecosystem. It's strategic partnerships, and it starts with hyperscalers, but it's got ISVs, technology integrators, data center operators, all of these companies that have to come together and give you integrated solutions. This is what is offering this idea that you can have this frictionless world.
Well, you mentioned enterprises and public sector. Are they coming to you and saying, hey, we need a network which needs this, which can do this? Or are you going to them and having to educate them about what they're going to need?
Here's a truth that we know. Customers help shape the future, and we listen to them. You know, we didn't have a crystal ball as to where AI was going to go, but we saw the signs. We understand the new data needs that, frankly, haven't existed in, 25 plus years. And we know that with anything, you're going to be in this hybrid world of super early adopters and customers that are going to wait and see a little bit more. But the signs are really showing us that customers are recognizing that the future is full of innovation and it requires faster, more flexible, and more intelligent connectivity.
Well, I mean, you say you don't have a crystal ball. Are you sure? Because actually, in order to serve the needs of this industry, you need a couple of things, more than AI, actually, more than chips and data centers and code. You need 5G. That's the lingua franca of the new industrial revolution. And you need edge computing. And you spent a lot of money on those technologies 5 years ago. Was that when you first identified AI as the driver, or was it just part of another shift that you were looking at?
We're always trying to invest in the areas that we think the future needs. One of the things that has, I would say, evolved is even the types of fiber on speed, on latency, on capacity. You really have to design for latency that is less than 5 milliseconds at the edge. And we've been making investments across our entire network to make sure that the power you need for AI applications is something that Lumen delivers every time. And there is a redundancy path that's important, a reliability. It's amazing to see the progress we've had with AI. It happens faster than I think most people would predict, with or without a crystal ball. It's going to continue. That's the one thing that, you know, we believe is it's going to continue to grow at an incredible pace.
Let's talk about that growth, though, you know, and where it's going to come from. Is it consumer or is it vertical industry or is it both?
It is growing everywhere. One of the things that we are really focused on is how do we go power the commercial industry? Because you are building for scale. You are building for multi-site operations. You are building for this critical infrastructure that then goes and powers all of those workloads. And really, as technology infrastructure, our role is to make sure whatever needs you have, the customer doesn't see how that backbone is running, but our backbone is that infrastructure that is multi-cloud and AI ready, because those customers are also building in different ways than they have built before, and making sure that they can serve the needs of their customers.
Well, we've talked a lot about technology so far. Let's talk a little bit about culture. I mean, you know, what has changed there? Did you have to shift the culture in order to move more quickly for your customers?
Steve, I love this question. And absolutely, because you can have the best tech in the world, but if your culture isn't ready, none of it matters. And we're really focused on how do we play to win? And how can we break down, I would say, the silos and outdated systems and culture of the past? That, as you say, this industry has not always had that. Sometimes we talk about it as building from the people up. It's human-centric. It's also using AI inside. When we say we're the trusted network for AI, guess what? We also have to be using that ourselves and have this real AI-powered workplace. People are something that is super important to me. And, you know, we look at, are our employees satisfied? I think we've got an 81% employee satisfaction. We are focused on how do we build this transparent, focused on well-being culture that wants to thrive and think about the tools, the people, the skills, to really go and rethink what it means to be a critical infrastructure and technology infrastructure company.
Ryan, you mentioned silos. Those have been a problem, I think, historically and today with some carriers, both for technology reasons and cultural reasons, i.e. departments competing with each other rather than acting as part of one company. Have you eliminated the silos at Lumen?
Silos are a problem for every company in every industry. I don't think you can ever say that you've eliminated all the silos, but what you can do is work with employees and your teams to ensure that they feel empowered, they feel the power of working together. And that's one of the things that we really focus on. It is doing trainings. It is understanding what is our common language to talk about how we can rumble together, to give each other permission slips, to fail fast, to do all of these things that bubble up to this play-to-win culture. That's what I wake up every single day and wonder about is, are we moving fast enough? Are we building the right change? But will we ever eliminate silos? Will any company ever eliminate all silos? I don't think so, but we'll try every single day.
You see, it's really interesting listening to you talk, because some of the sort of philosophies that you're espousing here are resonant of what you hear from big tech, from hyperscalers. But for me personally, what I think we need, I think the perfect, I won't even call it a carrier, the perfect service provider should be a combination of that world, but also with the trust mechanisms and the sense of responsibility that service providers and carriers have given to the world for over 100 years. We don't want to lose that, right?
100%. Speed of trust is something I've believed in for a long time. And our customers can't trust us from an external point of view if we don't trust each other internally. And it goes back to the silo question. You know, we're building that trust internally, and our customers see it. They feel it. They know that when there's a problem, Lumen is there to do everything we can to fix it. And having that permission to go have that conversation with the customer, knowing that internally we're going to be able to support each other, it makes a difference. And if you're a technology infrastructure company like us, it's table stakes.
I mentioned big tech and cloud hyperscalers. When they first emerged, there was this kind of sense that, oh, this is going to be the end of traditional carriers. But carriers actually are having a renaissance now. I mean, and with the emergence of an AI opportunity at the edge of the network, of the importance, this critical zone of innovation around the edge with edge computing and pervasive 5G, and the whole digital transformation market is going to be so reliant on that that platform that you're delivering. Are there key strategies that you're looking to over the next few years to remain relevant and vital and competitive in this new world which we're entering?
I think of a couple pieces. One is, how do we re-architect the network to keep pace with cloud and AI? I think about these cloud-powered controls that you see in technology companies. We're bringing that to Lumen and having a network that's programmable, that has network as a service, that allows you to turn up and down services as you need and give you more flexibility than telco and carriers have ever given. And then it's about securing this, you know, digital foundation we're building through our threat intel team. You mentioned hyperscalers. We're integrating with hyperscalers. So when we think about, like, what is this era of the carrier? It's about, how do we go integrate? It is about, how do we build these edge zones? It is about how we offer differentiated services around connectivity, because that is really what we're driving here, that help us differentiate for customers.
I mean, you said you're integrating with hyperscalers.
Yeah.
Actually, they're integrating with you, but that's not how the universe of communications and media looks at that. Do you think the hyperscalers have realized that they need you?
I do really think about this as a partnership, because when we think about their needs, their customer, they're also telling us their needs. Then enterprise customers, non-hyperscaler enterprise customers, are telling us their needs. And we're able to figure out, what are the assets we have? What are the ones that we need to go build? And how do we bring more cloud control to these customers? So it's really a partnership. The speed of AI and what we are building as a world, I would say, it is there's no way to do it without true deep partnerships. And I don't use the word lightly. When we think about, you know, really spending time with the hyperscalers on their needs, we are building together. And when you have a industry and when you have partnerships that feel less like vendors and more like partners, that's when you change the world.
What I'm hearing from you, Ryan, is that this isn't a combative, competitive mission that the companies, whether they're hyperscalers or carriers or communications vendors, are involved in. Actually, we're trying to create a peaceable kingdom of collaboration to drive forward this new digital global economy. And you're sitting right in the heart of it. It's very exciting.
When I talk about technology infrastructure and what a leader should be, that speed, intelligence, and scale, and enabling customers, that is what it means to be the trusted network for AI. It sounds simple, but we're getting deeply embedded with CIOs, CTOs that are building infrastructure that has to keep up with their AI ambitions. And it has to be real solutions, not just promises. That's what Lumen is here for.
It's time to separate the signal from the noise and talk about what's real versus what's hype. AI.
Signal.
Quantum computing.
I think this is the signal that is just starting to emerge, and it's the next big thing.
6G.
It will be important, I'm sure, but I don't know if we're there yet. So we'll go more noise for right now.
Okay, absolutely. And holographic communications.
Ooh, holographic communications.
Princess Leia coming out of R2-D2 telling you to I can't remember what she said now because it's like 50 years ago.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Can I dream of a signal, but might still be noise for now?
100%. Perfect answer. Up next, the carrier question. What's the biggest challenge service providers are facing today? What is the key characteristic or technology that will define the carrier 2.0 era that we are entering now? You're only allowed one. Can't be uninterruptible power supplies. Not allowed.
We talked about trust. The trust in the systems that are technology infrastructure. AI has to work every time.
Let's speak some truth to power. What's behind the current AI bubble? Well, here's a clue. It's not artificial intelligence. Confused? Let's break it down. AI itself isn't new. The first commercial AI neural networks debuted in the 1980s before disappearing again after people realized that they were unreliable. Sounds familiar? Well, then AI reappeared at the start of the 2000s when Google, Amazon, and a whole bunch of telcos started deploying it to improve their businesses. Wait, you thought big tech was behind the whole AI trend? You see, that's another misconception. Telcos and big tech have actually both been using AI for about the same amount of time. So what was the huge breakthrough in AI that triggered the current AI madness? Well, actually, it was something remarkably mundane. In 2022, OpenAI took a chatbot, which isn't AI, and they glued it to an AI agent, which is. And that allowed everyone to have a go with AI, not just engineers, but investors and consumers. And that created awareness of artificial intelligence, which is what has inflated the current bubble. There is no eureka moment here. Or if there was, it occurred way back in the 1940s when Alan Turing and Claude Shannon originally invented the concept of artificial intelligence. The truth is that the current bubble is based on the same fundamental and imperfect AI technology we've had for 40 years since the 1980s. Now, like AI, the VCs, PE bankers, and big tech execs hyping it up are very good at pretending to know everything, while actually being surprisingly clueless. AI is an important technology, but it doesn't perform miracles. And ultimately, while it will facilitate the emergence of a new global digital economy, that's going to take time, probably another 25 years, and a huge amount of work. A little bit more than a chatbot, in other words. We'll close with one bold prediction. Our guest's fearless take on what to expect in the telecom industry. Finally, a prediction. A bold prediction. Something that maybe people haven't realized yet. Something that's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years in our industry, Ryan. Any thoughts on that? Something which you think is going to happen, which maybe other people haven't thought about?
The future belongs to those who evolve into strategic enablers of AI. And I think that there's some special things: autonomous manufacturing, predictive healthcare, intelligent logistics at the edge. I think about the humanoid revolution. And all of that requires such large amounts of data. But the telco of the future won't just connect data. It will think. It'll have a cognitive network. It will interpret, act, and also keep secure in real time the world's next era of business.
Amazing. What a pleasure to talk to you today, Ryan. Thank you so much.
It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoyed this conversation.
This episode of Carrier 2.0 is brought to you by Cisco. Please subscribe, share, or just join the conversation, because the future of telecom is happening today.